Welcome to the Caixa Seguridade conference call to discuss the results for the first quarter of 2021. After the brief statements of the executives, we will start the question and answer session initially for analysts and investors, and subsequently for the journalists present, at which time further instructions will be provided. This event is being broadcast via webcast and can be accessed on the company's website at www.ri.caixaseguridade.com.br. Those participating in the event through the webcast will also be able to send their questions on the platform, and they will be answered by the management during this conference call or by Caixa Seguridade's investor relations team after the end of the conference call. Before proceeding, I would like to reinforce that the forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management of Caixa Seguridade and the current information available to the company. These statements may involve risks and uncertainties since they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should take into account that events related to the macroeconomic environment, the segment, and other factors that may cause the results to be materially different from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. I would now give the floor to Mr. Eduardo da Caixa. Please, you may start.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for participating in this results conference call for the first quarter 2021 of Caixa Seguridade. Welcome to the new shareholders of Caixa Seguridade. It is a pleasure to be with you. On slide three, we start on slide three. Once again, Caixa Seguridade beats the records in the results in the first quarter, has been the best first quarter in the history of Caixa Seguridade. We had a net profit of 432 million, 4.3% higher when compared to the first quarter 2020, with another important indicator, quite relevant, two-digit growth. Insurance premium grew 22.6% compared to the previous semester last year, and 41.5% in terms of private pension. Again, we gain market share. We go up 2.6 percentage points in market share and reach an ROI never seen at Caixa Seguridade, 8.6 percentage points, reaching an ROI of  42.9%. An extremely important event to us was the launch of our shares, the IPO. The operation was a success, and it was held in April between base offer and supplementary offer. It reached a volume of 5 billion with a free float of 17.5%. There, once again, an important participation, and I'd like to welcome all the institutional investors, both local and international, and all the individuals with a great relevance in this process, in this operation. Over 108,000 individual shareholders at Caixa Seguridade. In terms of our strategic organization, this is a process we started in 2019 and accelerated in 2020. We complete all our participation or stakes and investments, and there clearly we would like to make a note with the association of CNP and to a new company, Caixa Vida e Previdência, closed at the end of December and starting its operations already in early January, taking the life and credit life and also private pension products there. And then we have Tokio Marine with again, the homeowner products, all the housing products, and that are taken there. This operation was also completed early in January. We had a pilot project until mid-February when it started to be 100% production with the participation with Tokio Marine. We also made an agreement with Tempo in the part of assistance. I usually say it is a business when compared to the part of credit life and also private pension is quite small, but it's quite interesting, but strategically positive to us. We start seeing this theme of assistance not as a cost driver, but mostly as a driver of revenue, and that obviously trying to absorb, making a cross-selling between the insurance companies of Caixa Seguridade, both in the B2B business, and obviously now launching and programming to launch products in the B2C sales on our over-the-counter Caixa. The partnerships with Icatu were completed in late March. They are operational already, but the launches of products should occur in the next 2 months. So this is a theme that we, especially in the part of capitalization, we expect to get to the historical levels of production of Caixa Seguridade in this area. And lastly, our part of credit letters, we closed in March with CNP into a new credit letter company focusing on housing and mortgage that would focus their sales through our sales channels. Another topic that is extremely important is the topic of the brokerage house, our own brokerage house. It started its operations in early January, and it is responsible in terms of volume and distribution that we have. In this first quarter, we had an increase of 144 million. It takes part with 116 million. Obviously, the results here should start growing in terms of stake in the next month, considering the agreement or the phase out that we've negotiated with the previous partner until August. And then as of August, it will concentrate 100% of the sales of brokerage of the sales of products on our counter. And lastly, on a delivery competitive process, we started last year with the intent of choosing two or three or four partners. In this case, we have quite strong partners focused on some businesses due to strategic decisions. We decided not to take part with equity, not have an insurance company for obvious reasons for capital allocation and also due to very reduced margins. We decided to run those businesses practically on health and in part of automobile, health and dental, and also corporate. For those businesses, we call those brokers as partners, and we signed yesterday the contracts with them. So now this is a process that is starting because we should, as quickly as possible, start selling those products to our customers on our counter. MDS will run the automobile business, Alper will handle health and dental, and corporate will be run in terms of support to the Caixa Seguridade, it will be run by Willis. Now we move on to slide 4. This is a slide just to remember or remind you a bit what becomes the focus this year and the business of Caixa Seguridade, quite relevant in terms of stake or participation in economics. The brokerage house, as I said, we had the stake in brokerage that was quite indirect, an indirect stake. Willis through the former CSH, and we had economics or equity of 12%. Now we start having this business of 100% within the structure. The VPP, the part of life credit life and private pension, moves from 48% with CNPN becomes 60% in mortgage and homeowner. We move from 48%, where we had our stake and partnership with CNP. And we move to the 75% business partnership with Toki. So we have, as I've mentioned, so this is a system that generates revenue, and we start having this business generating revenue to Caixa Seguridade with a stake of 75%. In terms of credit letters and premium bonds through CNP and CSH, we move from 48% to another level at 75%. And lastly, on premium bonds, we had directly 25% along with Icatu and CSH. And now we start having Icatu as a partner and stake of 75% in terms of economics. I'd like to mention that most of these companies are operational, with the except of credit letters and premium bonds, that we should launch products shortly. And we will launch the whole strategy and design, starting sales on our counter. The part of credit letter, we are just waiting for the final approval of the central bank. In terms of premium bonds, we should launch some quite interesting products. And the goal here is to go back to the rate of production in terms of premium bonds that we had in the past in terms of capitalization. Moving on to the next slide, slide 5. Here we have a little bit of the expansion of revenue, operating revenues of Caixa Seguridade. Of course, the brokerage topic will certainly support us in our business, actually adding value to shareholders. Clearly, it has been a strategy of unblocking values to shareholders and taking part of this important business of brokerage. Here we have the new partnerships with brokerage houses that will certainly play the role of complementing our product offer to our customers and also navigating in this new market where we practically were not present in terms of production of revenue. An important topic to us this year in terms of focus and segment, it will be the agribusiness, considering the whole strategy of Caixa of strengthening, growing. Caixa estimates a portfolio in agribusiness for 2022 getting to 40 billion reais in rural credit. That was a business that we practically did not work on. And now we open up the whole front so that we can be very important in this area. Of course, we'll address this topic of agribusiness as brokerage, and the partner to help us in the development of this business will be Willis, who won the tender for co-brokerage for large risks. As to digital channels, as I usually say, we have gigantic opportunities ahead. We have been commenting on the Caixa Tem, the platform today managed by Caixa Econômica Federal. We have great opportunities for growth in products and structures. We have started the life product for low-income customers. But somehow I usually say that we have a whole avenue, a huge avenue to step on, and we have been making our strategic planning, the improvement in sales on the counter, on the Caixa counter, and obviously all its various channels through the bank branches that are responsible for 75% approximately of our business. But here we also have the opportunity of increasing, and we have been doing several things in this sense to improve sales in our bank branches and also through the lottery places. Certainly, we're going to have some strategies and looking more towards this topic of the digital channels. The focus of Caixa Seguridade is certainly in its core business. When we talk about core business, we mean life insurance products, housing, mortgage, and also credit life, now premium bonds and credit letters in a new scale. So those are the products. And our business is the bank assurance of Caixa and will be 100% focused on the development and increase of our businesses on the Caixa counter. Here we have a summary of what we actually comment on our features. We are a company that has a track record of two-digit growth with payment of dividends that is high. We are in a we still have to increase our penetration in our customer base. That gives an outlook that is quite positive in terms of growth for the forthcoming years. And obviously, using the largest distribution network in the country, as it is our various channels throughout the country. Now, with the strategy of segmenting and bringing partners with specific knowledge to our products, and with the signing of the agreements with the co-brokers, we complement our portfolio of products and clearly start addressing this whole system of sales and cross-selling within our structure and our customers. Certainly for the future, this focus on the counter and sales opens up great growth avenues, and the idea is to increase sales in the remote channels, channels that we call that are actually not bank branches. So we've made the first payment of the new model of incentives for the chain, and this has been a success. And we actually started training sessions through our company, subsidiaries, and Caixa Seguridade that creates strategies for the Caixa counter. And we see initiatives that are quite interesting today. Today, within our network, we start seeing employees, our salespeople, getting together through WhatsApp groups and taking training courses that they wish to take spontaneously. And this atmosphere has been really nice. And certainly, under the umbrella of the sales team managed by Caixa Seguridade, we expect to add a lot of value and develop sales through cross-selling and increasing customer base. In terms of ESG, Caixa Seguridade is a company within Caixa, and I believe there is not such need of making further comments because Caixa is a social bank, and I'd like to draw your attention to governance, the governance structure we've created with various, not only with the board of directors where minority shareholders will appoint a member, a board member that they will actually appoint, and also through the compliance that we have through the committee of stakeholders and all the systems that we have implemented, as well as the committees, and we have participants that are totally independent that are fully qualified. And lastly, once again, we show our execution capacity with results that are extremely solid, extremely consistent, and also with a dividend payout over 90%. We've already paid regarding the previous period. We had a history of dividend payout about 80%. We've paid related to the results of 2020. We've already paid out 90%, and we have this target of continuing to pay 90% or above 90%. Now I will turn the mic to Eduardo, our Chief Financial Officer and also Investor Relations Officer. And then Eduardo will hand over to Ellis, our Finance Head and IR. Okay, thank you, Edu. Thank you, Takashi, and good afternoon, everyone. On slide 8, we present some of the highlights of the company in the period. As already mentioned by Takashi, the company achieved the best first quarter in its history with a net profit of 431.7 million, 4.3% higher than in the first quarter 2020. The growth observed compared year over year was anchored above all in the increase in revenues from the distribution, notably BDF and brokerage business. It is important to highlight here that when we compare the results with the last quarter of 2020, this drop is mainly due to commercial dynamics and seasonal factors, since historically the performance of the fourth quarter is higher to the first quarter of the following year. Operating revenue reached the 523.1 million reais in the first 3 months of the year, an increase of 6.2% compared to the same period in 2020, whereas BDF and brokerage revenue grew 12.6% in the year-over-year comparison, already beginning to reflect the positive effect of having a brokerage 100% hours. As it's been mentioned, this result, a record for the first quarter, combined with a history of dividend payouts, explains our ROE of 42.9% per year, with an increase of 8.6 percentage points in the first quarter of 2021. Moving on to slide 9, the insurance segment grew 20.6% in comparison with the first quarter 2020, driven mainly by the volume of housing, also lending and residential.
Private pension segment showed a 41.5% growth in revenue in comparison between the first quarter of 2021 and the same period 2020, the positive result that has been presented since last year and is due. In addition to the promotion of sales incentives on the Caixa network, Caixa Seguridade's performance in the qualification of employees in a segment that requires great specialization, with distance training sessions and the training of digital managers and the private segment. These initiatives in the private pension segment actually increase the population's growing awareness of the need for private pension plan in addition to public pension. The Caixa has an important role here considering our history, as well as also considering mortgage plans. In terms of credit letters, we had 0.8% in comparison to the previous years, while the collection of savings bonds was 20.1% lower. We see these two segments as excellent growth opportunities going forward, since they were not being prioritized. And now, with a new partnership signed at the end of March and with the companies in the implementation phase, we will finally have the conditions to take advantage of the full potential of Caixa's counter for these segments. Continuing on slide number 10, home insurance shows a continuous growth in the volume of premiums issued during the 2020 and the first quarter 2021, even during the most critical period of the pandemic. This performance is related to stock effect, since the issuance of home insurance premiums is monthly and the stock of policies influences the flow of emissions each year. The increase in growth in the granting of real estate financing, although it does not have an immediate effect on the production of housing segment, serves as an indication of growth in future premiums. In the year-over-year comparison, the increase in the issuance of premiums for the housing segment was 8.3%, which is quite significant considering our base. In terms of credit life, in comparison between the first quarter 2021 and the same period previous year, the issuance of premiums increased 38.5%. This growth is due to the increased penetration of the credit life branch in the granting of payroll loans, as well as in the small business segment. For the first quarter 2021, the life branch showed an increase of 0.5% in the amount of premiums issued in comparison with the first quarter of 2020. The homeowner branch, in turn, showed a growth of 65.1% growth, and the change in the level of sales is related to the strategies adopted by Rede Caixa, which include greater focus on the product, increased penetration of the residential insurance and home loans, and training with employees and managers from different regions of Brazil in order to train employees for the sales of products and assisting them in clarification of questions customers have. Moving on to slide 11, we bring an aggregated view of operating margin by segment within Caixa branch. Margin grew 5.8% regarding first quarter 2020 due to the good performances registered in the insurance and also credit letter segments. The insurance segment totaled 833.1 million in the first quarter of the year, accounting for 72% of operating margin of the branch. Social Security brought 233 million contribution margin, accounted for 20% of the total. It is important to note that this distribution of operating margin by product has been stable over time, with only small variations between quarters. In the medium term, our expectation is that credit letter and also premium bonds will have a greater share, considering we have great potential in those lines, as I've mentioned earlier. On the next slide, I bring the premiums earned in the insurance segment, which were 13.2% higher than the first quarter 2020. The growth explained mainly by the performance of the part of credit life and also residential. The loss ratio we have followed 25.1 in the fourth quarter 2020, increased again in the first quarter 2021, driven by the increase in claims in the housing, also life, and also credit life due to the COVID-19 pandemic. When pandemic-related claims were excluded, the claims ratio for the first quarter 2021 would have been 20.5%, 2.5 percentage points lower than that recorded in the first quarter of the previous year. The effect of the pandemic in this quarter was greater than in the previous quarters, since the second wave reached more younger people, exactly in an age bracket where we are most exposed, especially due to housing insurance. On the other hand, we see this as something that is temporary, that tends to go back to historical levels, and we should be able to move forward regarding claims related to COVID. The commissioning index, which calculates the ratio between acquisition costs and then premiums, decreased in relation to the first and fourth quarters of 2020, reflecting the growth in earned premiums at a faster pace than the variation in costs. It should be noted that the fourth quarter 2020, the first quarter 2021, there has been a reduction of 2.3 percentage points in acquisition costs. Despite the growth in claims, as I mentioned, the positive evolution of earned premiums associated with the reduction in operating expenses and favorable variations in acquisition costs explain the 5.5% growth in the operating margin of the risk business lines in comparison with the first quarter of 2020. Moving on to slide 13, I'm going to talk a bit about the private pension segment. The amount received as management fees in the first quarter 2021 was 15.1% higher than in the same period in 2020. The average rate in turn fell in relation to the same period last year, reflecting the scenario of low interest rates throughout 2020. However, with the beginning of a new cycle of higher Selic rates, however, this pressure for reducing rates declines, which is already evident in this quarter, and we see a stability regarding the previous quarter. The operating margin grew by 1.7% in comparison between 2021 and 2020, impacted by the changes in technical provisions and increase in acquisition costs, which grew proportionally more than the collection, raising the commissioning rate to the first period of 2021. The total of reserves in the first quarter of 2021 accounts a growth of 22.4% in relation to the first quarter 2020 and 3.9% regarding the fourth quarter 2020. Proportionally, the increase in the amount of redemptions was lower than compared to reserves year over year, representing a decrease of almost 0.4 percentage points in the redemption ratio. Moving on to the next slide, we will now analyze regarding the fourth quarter 2020. However, for the same period, the operating margin increased 26.9% due to the positive percentage changes in the result with the sweepstakes, etc., and other operating income expenses, whereas reserves increased by 8% regarding the previous year. Moving on to slide 15, revenue from the management fee for the consortium or credit letter segment had an increase of 0.7% in the first quarter 2020 when compared to the same period 2020. The proportional increase between the funds collected and the amounts received with administration fee, they maintained the average administration fee at 16.6% in comparison between the two periods. Credit letters sold decreased 13.2% in comparison between quarters, whereas regarding fourth quarter 2020, it had an increase of 38% for vehicle letters of credit and a reduction of 0.4% regarding
housing. Now I will turn the mic to our head of investor relations, Welys Menlo, who will present the results of the participation in businesses. Thank you, Eduardo, and good afternoon, everyone. Moving on to slide 17. Our goal here is to demonstrate the differences between the operating structure that formed in 2020 and the beginning of new structures, and the new structure of Caixa Seguridade establishes standardization that brings the comparability of results between 2020 and 2021. The idea is to make this comparison easier and bring a better view as to how our businesses are evolving. Focusing on the blue color, we see the partnerships of Caixa. And then we start having one of the great changes in our structure. The beginning of new partnerships in 2021 brings a complexity to our structure and also in terms of comparability. In 2020, we had the results, we had the income brought from Caixa Seguros Holding. And as of 2021, in addition to the new partnerships, we continue with Caixa Seguros Holding, now named CNP Seguros. And now, managing CNP Seguros will manage the runoff policies. To bring comparison to this group, we brought the group of partnerships Caixa, and we add the results as a whole, of the group as a whole. So the other important thing was the Caixa Corretora Seguros changing the dynamics in terms of commissions and also bringing a bit of complexity to comparison purposes. By the end of 2020, the previous partnership paid to Caixa Seguridade something called BDF, which is a commission for the sales in the distribution network of the bank. And this revenue of Caixa Seguridade is maintained in 2021, but now only for the policies in runoff. This revenue accounted for, on average, 40% of total commissions that the insurance company paid to its sales network. Now, in 2021, in addition to BDF for the commission runoff, we have Caixa Corretora receiving the brokerage. And after the transition period, Caixa Corretora will also receive 100% of brokerage paid by insurance companies, the new partners. This is a new item for 2021. So in this case, we unify, we make the comparison looking at the sum of distribution businesses. The third group is the partnership with BTG. At the PAN bank counter, this remains unaltered, but we also combine it with the two Seguros and PAN as a partnership of the PAN bank, and that can be seen in gray. And the last group we have is for net results, so that the net result of this evaluation can be compared to Caixa Seguridade Participações, we add the holding Seguridade, and so including expenses in the administrative structure and also the strategy of Caixa Seguridade. Another peculiarity of this new structure is the existence of different economic stakes in the same group. And because of that, to maintain the comparability and to bring better proportion of what it accounts for and the results of Caixa Seguridade, we're going to present these numbers from the stake that Caixa Seguridade has actually in each one of the companies. Moving on to slide 18. This is a
different way of presenting the same thing just to keep it as a record and a different viewpoint or view of this new structural organization. Moving on to slide 19, we talk about the group results. We show the operating margin. We have the operating margin in this assessment. We have a growth of 5.6% in the first quarter. And here we move on with this dynamics, the same dynamics of the evolution of commercial performance with the increase in claims and more or less what Eduardo has already mentioned. The charts that show the contribution of each grouping in the operating margin of the company, we can see that there is an influence of the new structure with an increase in the participation of Parcerias Caixa or Caixa Partnerships. So we have an increase in partners and also commission levels for Caixa Seguridade. The gains from the new business model are not immediate and gradually added to the results of the company according to the transition, as the transition periods end and the stock of the new the portfolios of the new companies become relevant. In this case, the exception is the new partnership for CNT for life and also credit life. So we have a growth of from 48 to 60%. It starts from the first day of the partnership because the policies that are part of this stake consider the policies in the stock that we had in the end of 2020. And this change has been one of the main items responsible for the increase in Caixa Seguridade. Moving on to slide 20, we have the evolution of the financial results and its representativeness in the relation to the operating result. Decrease 25 and 19% registered in the comparison in the first and fourth quarters of 2020, respectively, occurred mainly within the new partnership with CNP. Given that the financial investment portfolio at the end of 2020, formed by provisions and life, loan and pension reserves that were accumulated under the old partnership. So the portfolio with the previous partnership in 2020 migrated to the new company following the same logic of adjusting economic stake at the very start. That was part of the dynamics of the agreement that was signed with CNP. In practice, the greatest financial result observed in this specific portfolio was boosted for Caixa Seguridade, given the increased participation at the time of migration. This also explains the greater representativeness of the financial result in this quarter, which rose from 27 to 30% to the detriment of the share of financial results. Moving on to the next slide, we detailed the general and administrative expenses index, which includes here, in addition to administrative expenses, tax expenses, and other operating expenses of each group. Always regarding operating margin. The growth in expenses in the last two quarters is associated with the increase in taxes explained by Eduardo, and also for the acceleration of administrative expenses because of costs of implementing the new partnerships. In the contribution of each group, this increase in expenditure within Caixa partnerships is clear. Looking at the two pie charts on the side. Here we also have the expenses of Holding Securitaria, a group created to classify expenses to maintain the structure of Caixa Seguridade Participações, as explained above. Moving on to the last slide, 22, we have the net income of this group, which coincides from the grouping we made, the evolution of Caixa Seguridade's net profit, but with a differentiated DRE segregation, demonstrating the contribution of each group and the bottom line of the company's result. With that,
I end my explanation, and I'd like to give the floor to the operator. Thank you. The conference call is now open for questions, initially only from analysts and investors. At the end of this stage, we will open for questions from the journalists present. So if analysts or investors have a question, please press star one on your phone now or any time after this announcement. If at any time your question has been answered before your turn comes, please press star two to exit the queue. We ask you that when you ask your question, speak close to the receiver of the device so that everyone can hear you clearly. Please wait while we receive questions from analysts and investors. Reminding you that if you wish to ask a question, just press star one. Our first question is from the webcast, from Atos Coin. Is there any study on the target price of the share? Thank you. Good afternoon, Thiago, if I understood your name correctly. We have some internal studies here regarding expectations of the stock price. However, the drivers for these prices or this actually growth and future profitability, and that is internal information of the company that we would decided not to disclose via guidance. Now we cannot disclose a future price expectation for our shares. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, press star one. Our next question by phone comes from Mr. Henrique Tomás from Banco do Brasil. Hello, good afternoon. This is Henrique Tomás from Banco do Brasil, SPA. I'd like to congratulate Takashi, Eduardo, Wellis for the running of the IPO. So much expected. Congratulations. And also on the result of first quarter. And my question, I'm going to split it into two blocks. So you had an effect of COVID, and I'm going to focus on two points, which is the result of the premium issued for the business part, that it grew a lot, and this is actually considering the first quarter when we compare this first quarter compared to the previous. Yeah, the difference is quite big. Last year we didn't have this, and it started this year. Or is it going to happen repeatedly in the first quarter? Or did you have it? Or you see an improvement in sales? Second part is on SG&A that grew a lot in the first quarter, and we wonder the process regarding the new partnerships, so the implementation process of the new partnerships. Is this going to be maintained in the first quarter, or is there anything to drop in the second quarter? When is this going to go back to the previous levels? Thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon. Those are my two questions. Good afternoon, Henrique. It's a pleasure to hear you once again answering your questions. The first one regarding the variation of the revenue in the business area. In fact, you're right. There has been a growth that was atypical in this first quarter. This is due basically to two components. The first one is that Caixa carries out annually an insurance to all its lottery units linked to the Caixa network. And this dynamics this year, we adjusted the terms of the insurance and it brought us higher revenue. This should account for about 50% of the growth, right, Henrique? And the other half, in terms of growth, is the normal business growth and greater focus given to corporate, especially SMEs.
With regards to your second question of administrative expenses or SG&A, the increase we had in the first quarter was due to implementation expenses of the new companies. So they are one-off expenses. We do not expect, actually, they will not be repeated in the next quarter. Since they are insurance companies, you don't defer them over time. All the implementation expenses of those companies happened in the first quarter and will not be repeated in the future. Thank you for your questions, Henrique, and thank you for your answers. Our next question is from the webcast. Regarding the material fact disclosed today, what is the difference in terms of the sales of insurance at Caixa? Hi. Let me try to answer it. I think the material fact of today completes the competitive process with the co-brokerage houses that are going to support Caixa Seguridade, Caixa Corretora, to take products that were little operated within our counter. I think we have two important factors there. The first one is completing the product offerings to our customers, making our customers to somehow not seek the competition and try to actually buy our products from Caixa. And also, we have the expectation that we should start operating more strongly in these segments that strategically we decided not to set up partnerships with insurance companies. In the area of auto is important. We have a relatively small penetration in the auto insurance segment, and with the counter operations and quantity using all the number of customers of Caixa, and our counter operations will be able to improve or increase the sales in the area of health and dental features that are different. But of course, we understand that they also proceed on the same path of the auto business. And lastly, large risk businesses. We have a great expectation of growth considering all the portfolio and considering the whole relationship dynamics that Caixa Econômica Federal has with its customers, especially in the area of infrastructure and also in the businesses with companies in the middle market segment. Another leverage that drives our expectation is the agribusiness segment, which certainly, well, actually, these products bring us the differential of being able to offer to our customer base more complete offering for consumption and for the use of cross-selling in terms of sales strategy, and obviously will contribute to increase in brokerage earnings through our own brokerage house. Our next question, also from the webcast, is from Mr. Marcelino Cordeiro from BMC Consultoria Caixa Seguridade. Is Caixa Seguridade planning to have a follow-on to increase liquidity? Obviously, this is a decision to Caixa Econômica Federal, our majority shareholder. Certainly, with this base offering, plus a
supplementary batch. We're talking about free float of 17.25%. And obviously, due to based on market rules, we understand that at some point we will seek the 25%, but this is not a decision made by Caixa Econômica Federal. And in the future, if it happens, some kind of movement in this sense, the original idea will certainly be to increase the free float of the company. Our next question is also from the webcaster, from Mr. Leandro Amorim de Freitas from Previ. What about the migration process of Willis to your own brokerage? Thank you for your question, Leandro. Actually, it's been happening according to plan, as you must have read on the material fact that addressed this topic. It is a 6 months transition process. Over these 6 months, we're going to adjust the brokerage revenue of WIS as it is increased at Caixa until the 15th of August this year, when WIS should actually leave the new operations and actually taking care only of the runoff contracts. This migration is happening according to the schedule, right, Leandro? And there's nothing that is very different from what has been informed to the market when we signed the contract with them. Additionally, I could say that, in fact, we have not been facing any difficulties or hurdles in terms of operations regarding the transition, Leandro, so that we should stick to what has been stipulated in terms of timing. Thank you. We remind you that you wish to ask questions, you should just press star one. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Our next question, also from the webcast, from Mr. Alcides Alberto de Camargo. Which will be the frequency of earnings distribution? Quarterly, every 6 months? Well, historically, we have the distribution of dividends twice a year, every semester. We have internal studies for us to, well, actually quite advanced, so that we have a more frequent distribution, not yet defined. Of course, it has to go through all the approval procedures. More than that, in this line, it is important to highlight that our business is not to carry cash. And actually, we are in the revenue increase business, brokerage increase, and dividend distribution that is high to our shareholders. Our next question, also from the webcast, is from Mr. Augusto Lange from Neo Investimentos. Good afternoon. Congratulations on your IPO and results. When do you estimate that the loss ratio in the part of mortgage will be reduced? Good afternoon, Augusto. Obviously, this question depends very much on the behavior of the pandemic from now on. But considering the analysis of the scenarios we've built, we believe it should normalize towards the end of this year and early next year, probably between the fourth quarter 2021 and first quarter 2022. Our next question, also from the webcast, from Mr. Augusto Lange from L Investments. The new partnership with Tokyo started in mid-February. In other words, this first quarter, it's been only partially captured. Perfect, Augusto. Actually, the partnership with Tokyo started on the 5th of January, but until mid-February, it operated as pilot, in a pilot format. So the full effect of the partnership started in February, and the reflexes of that in our results still quite small, considering that the dynamics of housing insurance is of monthly issue of the premium. So in housing or mortgage will occur over time as we increase the bucket of housing insurance, and then we can capture all the effect. The first quarter we still had as an effect to actually the part of homeowner, the implementation expenses, as I mentioned to Henrique previously, that happened in the first quarter. In the first quarter, the results we had of Caixa Habitacional was actually negative because of that. In the next quarters, what we assume is growth that is more robust, since we're going to increase the contracts of housing insurance without the expenses of implementation. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question, also from the webcast, is from Mr. Gabriel Gaetano from Sulamérica. Good afternoon. What can we expect from the dynamics of the auto segment for 2021? What kind of efforts are being made? Good afternoon, Gabriel. As Dukasha said in the presentation for the auto segment, our strategy is to act in brokerage. We're not going to, well, we have no partnerships to take on the risk in the auto segment. And therefore, our strategy is to operate in the brokerage in this line. Since we signed the contract today with our new co-brokerage partners for auto, our partner is MDS. Our expectation in line with them is that they bring their expertise and technology so that Caixa can offer its clients the best auto products. In this line, Caixa Seguridade would have the benefit of sharing with our partner the brokerage of these operations. So our expectation is to operate in this way, and with the signing of the contract today, we assume we're going to work in the next month to actually materialize these operations in Caixa. If you wish to ask questions, press star 1. Our next question, also from the webcast, is from Mr. Glauber Burici. Good afternoon. What is the impact of the increase of the Selic rate on the results of the company? Good afternoon, Glauber. Well, Caixa Seguridade as a holding of insurance stakes is positively impacted by the increase of Selic. How does it happen? On one hand, when we look at private pension segment, the increase of Selic reduces the pressure of the reduction of administrative fee, and leading us to have a higher result in this segment. Looking at the financial side, the increase in the Selic rate brings us greater revenue opportunities for the management of the reserves that are so normal in an insurance segment. So the management of the insurance linked to Caixa Seguridade is always seeking the best assets and liabilities management, trying to mitigate market risks between actuarial liabilities and the financial results. The Caixa Seguridade should indirectly be benefited with this increase in the Selic rate. We remind you that if you wish to ask questions, just press star 1.
We now end the Q&A session with analysts and investors. Now we open for questions from journalists present. So if any journalist has a question, please press star one on your phone now or any time after this announcement. If at any time your question is answered before your turn comes, please press star two to exit the queue. Please wait while we receive the questions from the journalists. Our first question comes from Ms. Aline Bronzati, Agência Estado. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for accepting my participation. I have two questions. One is regarding a question. I'd like to better understand why you've decided regarding the auto health and great risk. Why not having an insurance company? Is it more profitable for the holding only to work in the side of insurance distribution, and the revenue coming will part be with Caixa Seguridade? Is it the same percentage of the other partnerships of co-brokerage? This is my first question. And the second question is a bit related to it. Takashi mentioned that further ahead, the brokerage, your own brokerage, tends to increase in terms of revenue as the previous contract ends. Do you have any view as to the weight that your own insurance brokerage will have in terms of the results and profit or an income when you have everything fully? Hi, Aline. Thank you. Why wouldn't we accept your participation? Nobody would ever run this risk here. Let me tell you, first regarding the segments we focused in terms of brokerage. Obviously, we could, in fact, and this has been analyzed in the past, of opening up and partnerships in auto, health and dental, and large risks. We understood that those are markets in which the loss ratio is high, the margins are tighter, and obviously some with greater risk, and actually the capital allocation, which is the area of large risks, and the company decided strategically to move towards brokerage, driving this revenue leverage. We understand that we can grow in this segment. We can meet the needs of our customers with a fee-based revenue, and also supported then by these players that are quite relevant in those markets in which we have established partnerships with the brokerage. Of course, the revenue of those products somehow depend, well, this theme depends on the products, actually. Some products have higher brokerage rates that are higher and others lower, but certainly the sum would drive us not only in terms of auto, health and dental, but the great relevance in the corporate, considering the corporate portfolio of Caixa Econômica Federal, and now considering the new alignment, strategic alignment of Caixa Econômica Federal, of moving into the agribusiness sector. So we have this expectation. As to our own brokerage revenue, we have today between BDF, which was the previous model we had, that ultimately is brokerage revenue, and the flow
already seen and verified through our own brokerage, we have approximately 44% of our results in terms of earnings. So we expect this impact of brokerage is not yet seen. And the results of our first quarter, it tends to grow over time. And a bit due to what Eduardo explained, the agreement of phase out the exit of our previous partner in the Caixa channel of our products, that will happen fully in August. So we have a negotiation that allows us to keep on growing our brokerages until August, but certainly as of August, we will start to see this business with a more concentrated dynamics in Caixa Corretora, in our brokerage house, especially with the new products and new sales that occur from this period onwards on our counter. So our expectation is that this brokerage item will be account for 50-60% in our results in the next 2 years. So certainly when I comment that this is a topic of unblocking value to shareholders, we bring inside the revenue that we would absorb in percentages that were much smaller, leading us to have a revenue mix between risk businesses and or venture businesses and brokerage quite well balanced. And also cash flow for Caixa Seguridade, extremely positive, considering that we would get part from the previous BDF, the brokerage that we got would get from the previous agreement, and most of the revenue would be via MAP. And with our own brokerage, we start having this flow incoming directly at Caixa Seguridade, also helping us to have a forecast and payment of dividends. I wouldn't say more aggressive, but more stable and better regularity than we have been presenting historically with two payments a year. Great. Thank you. This concludes the Q&A session of today. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Takashi to proceed with his final remarks. You may proceed. First of all, thank you very much for your participation. As we say, it is a pleasure, although Caixa Seguridade, for some time having been a public company, now we are a listed company with an important coverage in terms of investors, both individuals and also institutional investors. And it is a pleasure for us to hold our first presentation within this concept. I think I'd like to sum up a bit our conversation and part of our strategy and part of our history in the past years. We have clearly concentrated our business in bank assurance of Caixa with a potential decrease and the potential of growth, actually, be it in terms of base growth, cross-selling, and our customers that are very relevant. Caixa has over 140 million clients, and when we take our products, the product that has most clients is usually certainly in the area of housing. We have over 5 million clients in the area of mortgage, so we have a reduction in terms of number of clients that is much smaller, 2 million for some segments and 1
some for others. So obviously we have all this potential to be worked on and obviously a better use of the channel. In addition to all of that, making us to keep on boosting our sales in the bank branch channels of Caixa, and also benefiting greatly, and that had not been very much designed by us in terms of using the channels of banking correspondence, quite relevant within Caixa Econômica Federal and lottery houses, as well as digital channels. We come to the conclusion, or with the execution within what has been expected, of a new strategic design, a new positioning, a new situation in terms of focus on products through our new partnerships. The partnerships cover practically all the core products of the insurance arm of the Caixa group. They are quite powerful. BNP had at somehow was the only partnership we had. It's been a partnership of 20 years that ended last year, a partnership that we can say that has been successful. You just look at the numbers and evolution of Caixa Seguridade, our insurance business, and then bringing to this context major partners as Tokyo, establishing or setting new partnerships with Ikatu, and also the assistance services with the driver of revenue, and also credit letters that we believe very much. And we have a partnership that we call a Renov with CNP, that now we're going to focus on this new partnership on our counter, on our customer base, focusing on our housing business. It's no use Caixa having market relevance in the housing market and having credit letters in housing that is so different. We understand that these products, these clients in the bracket, Caixa has an average of the finance ticket is 250,000 reais. This is the bulk of our context. I think you've been able to see today in Pedro Guimarães' presentation of Caixa Econômica. Caixa is a housing bank, it's a social bank, it's a bank with a relationship with the government, with public agencies, both state and federal agencies, and now clearly we start having this perspective of increase in other businesses, as for example, in agribusiness. So we understand that we have the correct partnerships that will allow for us to have consistent growth for the next year. Not only considering the management of the business itself, but also through the launch of new products and through initiatives that I would say will be more innovative and more aggressive towards our offerings. And so this is clearly the design, and we deliver the last point of execution within this strategic planning, which was the agreement with co-brokerage. We sign agreements, very important, with very strong partners that know the business. They're going to help us and help Caixa Seguridade and its partners and the brokerage to provide all these offerings to our customer base. We are a business that historically has presented growth rates that are quite relevant, considering all the avenues ahead and the strategy, certainly the future, the launch of products, and all the potential that we have, not only on our
base of channels, we understand there is still a lot to capture. I usually say that commercially, we have done 10% of what we could have done. So we have this extremely positive outlook for the next years. And within this new context, with the Caixa Corretora, with our brokerage house, we bring to our business a more balanced business with funds and results of these equity partnerships balanced with commissions. We understand that this model undoubtedly is the best model for value generation for shareholders, and certainly is what we are going to show in the next fiscal years. And obviously, as I've mentioned, we have a mission here. We have a strategy of dividend payout that is relevant to us or for our shareholders. This is very important to us and the insurance company. We've already reached the level of the index of 90%, and we understand this is the index we should apply, and at some point in fiscal years it should be higher than 90%. But as I've mentioned already, we are not in a business of keeping and holding cash. We are here to increase our sales, to meet the demands of our clients, and provide all the services and be a positive reference to our shareholders, leading to extremely powerful dividend payout. As to return on investment, we get back to it. We somehow have been increasing our ROI. We got it at 42% until last year. We had 30-some%. And certainly this ROI will grow. And we will usually say that our target, without any timeline definition, we understand that we have a reference and the Caixa Seguridade, and that's what we're going to pursue. Obviously, this first quarter, even though we've had a result that has been fantastic, the best in terms of Caixa Seguridade, but then the plan, what was planned by us, this obviously, when you look at the results, you see that it is not yet impacted by the new percentages of the economics. It's not relevantly impacted by our own brokerage, but it's still impacted by expenses, as Eduardo has explained, implementation expenses that are temporal, that are not going to happen over the year. And we still deliver positive results with two-digit growth in line with our strategy. So, to sum up, we still have a long way to go. We have many opportunities to be seized and tapped into, and I'm sure that we will deliver, obviously considering our history, our track record, and we're going to deliver everything that is relevant to our shareholders for profitability and dividend payouts. So this is a bit the summary that I wish to make. The curves, I think we talked a bit about the curves, the products. They are relatively in line with what we have planned, with certain highlights to certain segments. When we look quarter against quarter, we have relevant areas as the area of credit life and also private pension. And we see a great challenge and there is an increase in terms of searching for these products. And also, once again, we present in the results gains in market share. And we also understand that this is also, major driver for Caixa Seguridade, especially all this potential that we have for the next fiscal year. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We are available to all investors through our IR, Eduardo Welles, so that we can at any time clarify your questions and explain pertinent topics of our investors and shareholders. Thank you very much. This concludes today's Caixa Seguridade conference call. Thank you very much for your participation and have a good afternoon.